Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome to our Grey's Anatomy deep dive podcast where we go through every single episode. We are currently in season 13, episodes 6 and 7, we'll have a little something to say about episode 8.
Roar.
Is that
Katy Perry?
Yeah, I didn't. That was good. Yeah, Roar and When or Why Try to Change Me Now. If this is your first time listening, we recommend you go back, start at the pilot, work your way here, follow our lives. And if you are back visiting with us, hello.
Thank you for coming.
Yes.
So we have a little thing called Patreon.
Yeah.
You guys know what it is. If you don't, it's a way to support the podcast. You can find it in the show notes. You can be an intern, resident, attending. There are different levels, different amounts that you can pledge, and you get different benefits and bonuses for pledging at different levels. We do have a bonus episode coming out. Abby, would you like to maybe talk about that for a quick moment?
Yeah, so we actually watched season 13, episodes 6, 7, and 8. But episode 8 is kind of what they call, what is it, a bottle episode. Oh God. It's basically an episode that is its own thing, its own story. It doesn't necessarily drive the entire season forward. You learn a little bit more about characters, but it's not, I feel like you could skip it. And
it's usually just like one like scene, right?
Yeah. Didn't they consider the Meredith getting beat up one sort of one too?
Yeah.
Because it like solved itself by the time it was done.
Yeah.
So that's what this episode 8 is. And it's called The Room Where It Happens. We are going to talk about that in our bonus episode for this month. So if you watched it and had strong feelings about it and want to know what we thought, make sure you are a $5 patron or higher.
Yeah, this is the first time we've ever done that.
We're excluding an episode from you all.
Yeah, sorry about it. But it just didn't... that's the bonus of being a patron. You get more content about certain things. Also speaking about Patreon. So Abby and I have... first of all, as we always say, we just want to thank everyone for all of their support since we've started Patreon.
Like 3 years ago.
It's been incredible. I mean, we've had like lifelong patrons. We've had patrons who have like had to stop their pledge and then come back again, you know, who have lowered their pledges and raised them back up again. So we totally understand. Whatever you need to do with your life, any support, even just listening to the podcast,
means
so much to us. So one of the bonuses that you got for being a patron at the attending level was to be a co-host. And as you all know, we've kind of put that on pause for a while. Abby and I have been talking, and we want, as hosts, to be really transparent with all of our listeners. We are indefinitely pausing co-hosting. We have grown through this podcast, and our lives are just in different places. And it is extremely difficult to, our schedules change at the last moment. Abby and I have to squeeze in recording at certain times. And so it just, for us right now, it makes the most sense that that just the two of us are recording. And so we wanted to be transparent with everyone because if you have been waiting and you are a $10 attending, we wanted to give you the opportunity if you wanted to lower your pledge. We totally understand. And we want to apologize to anyone who feels like they were slighted because of this. But ultimately, it's like a mental health issue and a scheduling issue. Like, that's just where we're at.
So. Yeah, and we have a Zoom scheduled, which by the time you hear this, I'm pretty sure it's today. Like,
no.
Or no, it would have been yesterday.
Oh, the Zoom. Right,
yeah.
Right. So like, I was like, oh my God, are we supposed to be on a Zoom call right now?
We're still doing those. We're still putting out bonus episodes when we can. You still get access to the podcast a day early when it is released. Our Facebook group is still going to be there. So we feel like... we still want to be here for you. We just want to be really honest. If that's what you're waiting for, we don't want you to feel like you're waiting for something and you're wondering where it is. So,
and the other thing I wanted to say was just like last week, Sarah had called in. It was a really important episode and storyline to her. So if there are still ways to be on the podcast and a part of the podcast, we've mentioned this before, you can email us. But if there, you see in season 13, 14, there's a storyline that's coming up that is you really want to discuss or if you really passionate opinions about, leave us a voicemail or a voice memo, and we will absolutely put it into the episode.
And if the voicemail thing is confusing to you or you're not a patron, you can also... Yeah, like send us a voice memo to theoncallroom@gmail.com.
Yes.
Just mention that you want it put in a podcast, like, or that you're hoping it will be, and we'll review it and make sure it makes sense. But yeah, that's the best way. Don't do like the memos on Instagram. Those disappear.
And we can't do it.
We can't do it.
We don't have the technology.
Yeah. Or if you don't want your voice on and you just want to send an email with some thoughts, just make sure you specify, like, I have specific thoughts about this.
Here they are. And if you could label, what would be really helpful is if you could label what episode it is. Just so we can look out for planning purposes that we don't overlook it. So
thanks for still loving us. And again, we love, like, you don't, we love you being a patron, but if that means you can't right now, we totally get it.
Yeah. So. But it's hard to say all of that because I feel like I'm letting so many people down and I hate letting people down.
I know.
But I also have to take care of myself.
You're not letting yourself down.
Yeah. I have to take,
cause I've had a lot of guilt every week that we're like, oh no, we don't have time.
Yeah.
So and thank you for like being
things may change at some point. And if they do, we will let you know. But for right now, that's just where we're at.
And also I'm just going to say, if you are a $2 patron or higher, make sure your address is updated because this is about the time of year that we send our holiday paper card gift. We love to be on your refrigerators and your offices, wherever you put the card. So we'll be doing that real soon. So just go in there, make sure your address is correct. And we look forward to sending that out to you too. I even think that is even other countries.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You get it wherever you
are. The first year made a deep mistake and went to the post office and did it all manually. Now I don't do that anymore.
We can't do that.
They were like, this will cost you $17. Like, I'm like, okay.
Great.
But yeah. So also for tonight's post-op topic, which is when we keep recording after we call time of death, is a mystery. We're just going to keep talking about whatever we feel like talking about because there's not a ton that happens in these episodes, to be honest.
Yeah, so we're just going to leave all of that in the main episode.
Yep.
And then we'll probably just talk about our lives. So we're probably not going to do that right here. So if you want to hear about our lives, be a $10 patron.
I will just say that I am in Bree's house. John made a lovely bowl, a vat of soup, and I didn't have any, but it smelled really good. And her Christmas tree is up, not decorated yet, but her outdoor lights are on and it's very cozy. This is the season that Bree thrives.
I love the Christmas season. I've spread out how I'm decorating instead of doing it all in one day.
Where you break a sweat,
like my legs fall off
the stairs.
Yeah.
Amidst a box of ornaments.
Yeah. So I've spread it out a little bit. And that is for my mental health.
Good.
Yeah.
Should we get into the episode, take a break and then get in?
Sounds great.
All right. Okay, welcome back. We are talking today about season 13, episode 6 and 7, Roar, and why try to change me now. That's hard to say. Just saying.
Hard to say, saying.
You want to read the first monologue?
Sure. You know that story where a child gets trapped under a car and their parent finds the superhuman strength to lift the car and save the child's life? I always wondered if that was real. If someone I cared about was hurt or trapped, would my instincts kick in? Would I know what to do? Would I lift the car? Jump in front of the bullet? Would I be able to beat somebody senseless? I like to think I would. When someone you love is in physical danger, finding the strength you need to save them is easy. But sometimes the threat isn't physical. Sometimes it goes deeper, in which case no instincts can save you. No superhuman strength, no adrenaline rush. You can't power your way out of the crashing car. All you can do is sit and wait and wish things were different. Meredith Grey.
And the next one is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The saying's as true of the human body as it is of a washing machine or a blender. A good surgeon knows that if you go screwing around with something that doesn't need screwing, you are the one who is liable to end up screwed. It's hard to admit when we're wrong, but even though everything looks fine, there's a problem. Something is broken and you have to see where it's broken and set about fixing it or it's all going to come apart. Meredith Grey.
Shotgun workup.
You want to alternate?
Sure.
Okay. I'll go first since you're having a moment. Veronica Kays, contact dermatitis, had that. Pregnancy, advanced pancreatic cancer.
Robbie Reeves, scalp laceration, congenital AVM, and brain bleed.
Bob Reeves, head laceration, internal injuries, and leg injury.
Is it a need?
I think so.
Inflamed gallbladder, myocardial infarction.
Emmett Lawson, liver laceration, spinal impingement.
Rand.
This one's long. Sorry, I wrote it. It's okay. It's long.
We have Veronica came across Alex at the courthouse. He noticed a rash on her hands and told her to come into the clinic. At the clinic, tests revealed advanced pancreatic cancer. I'm going to talk about this later, but this storyline fucked me up. Okay. Bailey recommended termination so she could start chemotherapy immediately. When they proposed this to Veronica, she was reluctant to terminate, given that it would only give her about a year, even if she did all the treatments available. Without the treatment, she'd die before the baby was born. Alex suggested a Whipple instead to remove the cancer and give her more time to deliver a healthy baby. Bailey refused, but when Veronica pleaded with her to give the baby a chance, Bailey agreed to do it. The surgery went well. Bailey's decision to not listen to Alex initially is based on a conversation that her and Catherine had earlier in the morning. Catherine came to the hospital and told Bailey that she was too lenient, that she gives too many people like Alex second chances. At the end of the episode, Bailey stands up to Catherine and says that she still believes strongly that Alex should stay. Catherine says she understands that, and the real problem in the program is why so many people need second chances. She wants Bailey to work on the teaching program with her without Richard Weber.
Then we have Eliza Minnick makes her way to Grace Sloan to see if she potentially wants to work here and rehaul the residency program. Everyone is under the impression that she will only be there a few days, including Richard. At first, many are opposed to the way she steps into ORs and demands that the residents become more hands-on. But after a full day, many of the attendings realize that some of what she has to say makes sense. Amelia sees how Stephanie is able to step in and do more, and DeLuca, while at first making a mistake, is able to step in and save a patient. Richard realizes he needs to change with medicine and tells Bailey that he is happy to work with her. What he doesn't yet realize is that she would be replacing him completely. Bailey has not told him this yet.
Then we have Leah Murphy is back at Grace Sloan Memorial and surprises almost everyone. The doctors who did not know her prior learned that she slept with both Krev and Robbins and that she almost got everyone fired for a sexual harassment case. We learn in surgery that Leah Murphy returned because she believes she is meant to be a cardiothoracic surgeon and wanted specifically to study under Maggie Pierce.
Amelia and Owen are having problems after an intense day working on a father and son who are in a car crash, causing the son to ultimately die. Amelia has a breakdown in one of the lounges. Alex is in there and he tells her that she can tell him anything. She ends up disclosing to him how she was pregnant when she lived in LA and had a baby boy who was born without a brain and who only lived for 43 minutes. She talks about how relieved she was when she found out she wasn't pregnant recently with Owen and how she thinks he's going to hate her when he knows this about her. The next time we see them together, they are fighting constantly about gas in the car and what to do for surgeries. Amelia tells Alex that she hasn't told him yet about her previous pregnancy. At the end of the day, Amelia snaps at Owen and tells him that she does not want to have any children. Amelia shows up at Meredith's house asking to spend the night, and Alex offers her his room.
Alex goes to court to find out about his court date. During the day when he has to work with Joe on a patient, DeLuca sees this and decides that he no longer can confide in Joe about anything. He tells Joe that she always goes for the bad guy and she deserves better. When Alex gets back from court, he comes into Meredith's bedroom and says that he wants waffle sundaes until he goes away and that Meredith needs to let her sisters into her life more. Ooh, okay.
Yeah. What's your first note?
Mare wants to go with Alex to set a court date, but he says no.
Yeah. She's like getting him all ready and whatever. Also, they show an outside shot of the intern house. And my note was, I've been there. The holler to Jade, our moderator, who took me to that place.
So jealous.
Yeah. So it's fun when that they use an old shot of that because it's not often anymore. Also, it makes no sense to the current house that we see.
Not at all. Nope.
Which looks like it's in San Diego. So I guess there's really not much to say about Alex and his court date other than that a date was set.
Right. And I mean, I guess we could talk about the Joe and DeLuca thing with it. I don't have much to say.
You got anything to say on it?
Yeah, not really.
I mean, I think it's smart of DeLuca. Like, I feel like it wasn't a good idea that they were buddy-buddy anyways.
No, and it is interesting. I guess what I will have to say about this is, like, how their friendship has expanded out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't feel like they were really friends before. Like, it wasn't until... like, she was pouring her heart out at the bar to him.
Right,
like,
and she was already wasted.
Yeah, they were not friends. Like, he was uncomfortable with that because I don't think they were good friends. And so I think they're both feeling pretty lonely and isolated from the incident with Karev. So it does make sense that, like, and they're not supposed to talk to anyone else so they can talk to each other. I get that. I think he does make a good point about her choosing, like, bad guys, I guess. But also, does he have the right to say that?
Yeah, I also feel like Joe is avoiding what this whole situation means for her and Alex by being friends with DeLuca. Mm-hmm. It, like, allows her to, like, disengage from it instead of, like, actually understand that, like, she experienced that. Like, I feel like it's, like, she hasn't been able to, like, process everything because she's just, like, friends with him and they're, like, avoiding everything,
that
you know?
That makes sense, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's true that she always goes for the bad guy. I mean,
I think he's talking about her previous relationship that she opened up about, and then
right.
Alex beat the shit out of him. So,
true. So to DeLuca's knowledge, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, though, it's like she wasn't being friends with him. She was literally working on a case with Alex. Like, it wasn't.
Right.
Which I'm surprised, too. They've not had any, like, moments, her and Alex. They're very, like, she does not talk to him other than about the case.
Yes. Yeah.
Which would be so, like, I get it. He deserves it, but that would be really excruciating.
It would suck.
I would say talking about Alex, too, we can talk about that after he gets the court date set and he comes back and he lays in Meredith's bed, which I love so much.
Oh, yeah.
I love that to have a friend where, like, you just lay down. Like, there's no, like, can I sit down? Can I, like, you plop yourself there. And I love that her first thing to him is, like, you didn't call. You were late. Like,
yeah.
All of these things that you said, like, I was waiting for you. And I feel like it hit him in that moment with a court date that, like, he is probably going to go to jail.
Yes.
And so he wants waffle sundaes.
Yeah. And then she's kind of like, do I have to cook these? He's like, absolutely not. No, I will be cooking these. And
he's like, no, that's my job. You stay out of the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really sweet, like, because to me, that's him saying, like, you're my family.
Yes.
And I want to spend as much time with my family.
And he wants Maggie and Amelia to be there, too, which
yeah.
I think is sweet. Also, I love when he's like, you also need to start talking to your sisters. Like, if I'm going to be gone, like, it's like he's already thinking about, like, what's Mare going to need.
What's really sad to me is when he was, like, giving that speech of, like, not being around and stuff, I thought about, like, he's then not around. Not because he goes to jail, but because he leaves.
Right.
And I know that's not in, like, the storyline at this point, but it does play out really mm-hmm. beautifully in that way.
It would work in a great montage.
Yeah. Yeah. It would work perfectly in a
montage. Someday I'm not going to be here. You need to lean on your sisters.
Yes.
It's only a few seasons away.
Yeah, and both of our sisters are still in the show.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So, and I do love, like, we'll talk about Amelia later, but when he looks to Meredith and goes, we talk now, her and I, and she's like, thank God. Like, she talks a lot. Like, so I thought that moment was sweet. There wasn't, we can talk about Veronica, I guess. You said it fucked you up.
Okay, well, I have contact dermatitis right now.
Oh.
Like, So
therefore you have pancreatic cancer.
Well, yeah.
And your baby's gonna die that you're
yeah, that I don't have. Yeah. It was like, so I went out with my friend the other day, and after I had watched this episode, and I have, like, a really dry patch on my chest, but there's no, like, rash to it. And so I had her feel it. She's an esthetician. She was like, that's just, like, that's dry skin. And I was like, okay, but what do I do? And she was like, a lot of moisturizer. And I was like, okay. Well, I thought I had pancreatic cancer but then I actually got, like, a rash later on, like, today. And so now I'm even more stressed out about it because I actually did get a rash. And so do I have pancreatic cancer?
I don't know. You're going to the doctor tomorrow, so.
I can ask her there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say.
I just felt so bad for, like, the dad
And oh, I know, like, he was cute.
Like, I felt so bad for both of them. And her being like, I was just going to the courthouse to, like, pay a ticket to save $300, like, or to get a ticket,
yeah,
whatever, removed, that I was going to have to, or I was going to be able to save, like, $395. And now you're telling me, like, I have pancreatic cancer and I'm going to die.
I'm trying to find, there was a, it was really sad. He, like, got up and he was like, it was supposed to be us, or what did he say? The dad. Oh my God.
I said the storyline is fucking killing me. It's so sad.
Yeah, there was just a really sad moment when he was talking to Alex. But of course, I didn't take a note on it. Either way, it just made me sad. And I love when he was like, "Can I hold your hand?" He goes, "I can't hold your hands. I've held your boobs." I loved that.
There's like a part where he's just sitting there and he tries to like put his arm out, and she's like, "We talked about this, boundaries."
Yeah, I know, because clearly they're not in a relationship, but they're friends, right?
They're very like. And then that there's that really sad part where he like breaks down and he's freaking out because he can't find the hoodie.
That was that scene. Yeah,
yeah. And Alex is like, "Well, did she come with the hoodie?" And he's like, "I don't know. Like, yeah. I have no idea. She knows these things. Like, how am I supposed to be a dad? Like, she does all the planning. Like, I can't do this." And then Alex is like, "You show up. Like, you're already showing up right now. And that is, like, what you need to do for a kid."
Where I thought I wrote that whole quote down because Alex said such a great thing to him. But I guess I just was so in the moment that I didn't write it down.
He said, "You're already really good at it. Like, you're already really good at showing up and being there." And I can imagine that would be, like, absolutely horrible to be like, and then he cries too. He's like, "She's my best friend."
Yeah.
Like, but to be like, "Okay, I agree to like that we're going to co-parent and I'll, you know, be the dad, but we won't be together." And then to find out that you're going to single parent.
Also just the choice that that woman has
is no choice.
Yeah. I don't like anything about it, but like the solution that they come up with for her, you know, to like try, but to know like, okay, my last job in life is to grow this baby. It's the last thing I'm going to do, would be really crazy. Also, the one thing that was weird to me is like in line at the ticket, like at the courthouse, he's like, "Oh, how far along?" She's only 16 weeks. How the fuck do you, that you usually aren't even showing.
Yeah.
So that part was whatever. Also, I want to say shout out to the show Army Wives. She was a main character on it. Loved that show in college. Sterling K. Brown also in it. Just lots of, if you watch SVU right now, the really douchebaggy, like chief of police, I don't know if that's his title actually. Like you don't even watch this season yet. He was also in Army Wives.
Gotcha.
It's a great show. It's actually a horrible show, but I loved it so much.
It was one of those things for you. I feel like I have one last thing to... Oh, and I don't know. I've never been pregnant, so I don't know what it feels like. I've also, like, never... Like, she really wanted a child, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, what a horrible choice to have to make.
Right?
Like, but I just don't... know that I would find myself being like, "Save the child." Like, I know that's really like controversial to probably say on here. Like,
well, I think it's hard because she was going to die no matter what.
Right. So that's like, very true.
That's the only like part where I was just like, at first I thought they were saying like, "Oh, you know, your cancer is totally curable if we do this. But it was like, "You'll have 1 year."
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, so either, and so that made more sense. She's like, "You're asking me to like, either way, like you're giving me an option of death and darkness at the end, where like at the other one, there's joy. There's something beyond me." And I thought that was really beautiful. That's when I got really teary-eyed and was like, okay, I could see myself.
Yeah.
I think I'm really afraid of death. I'm going to get real intimate here. I think I'm really afraid of death. And so like anything that I could possibly do
to
avoid death. But I just can't imagine being in that situation where it's like, okay, well, your child either, like you can grow your child so they can have a life. Yeah. Or you can have maybe potentially more time.
Yeah. It's a horrible, it's honestly like a cruel situation. Like I'm sure it happens in real life, but that
it feels like a thing that would be in like an ethics class where you'd be like, which one do you choose?
Well, it also to me is one of the arguments for pro-choice of like why termination, like, cause in this case, if she like Bailey recommends it because it would give her more time to live. So it's like one of those horrible stories where like you hear about women who are like, I had to do this. I didn't want to, but it like X, Y, and Z, which I do feel like Grey's tends to lean on that side.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'm sure it's like based off of an actual situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, she just wanted to get a ticket contested.
Yeah. And then she's fucking pancreatic cancer.
I know. It's rough. Also like Alex is doing incredible things at the clinic.
Yeah. Like just in court.
Yeah.
Just like picking up on like these like, you know, symptoms of things. And it's really sad too that he also like can't diagnose, like he can diagnose her, but he can't tell her because of where he's at.
I want to know what is going to be the thing that convinces DeLuca to not press the charges. Because
they don't go to court, right? I don't remember. I can't remember a court
scene. They also have not interacted. Like, really, since. You know what I mean? It's not like DeLuca. I mean, there was that one surgery. DeLuca saw him work with the kid. Yeah. But, like, since he's been in the clinic, like, DeLuca's not, like, watching him do this, you know?
Right.
I wonder if, like, does Joe finally tell him? Or, like, is it something with Joe? And then he decides
to... I cannot remember.
Like, part of me... Again, viewers who are annoyed with us because you remember what happened and we don't, it's because we haven't rewatched these seasons. But, like...
Because we started a podcast 8 years ago.
Right. It's like, I wonder, like, I'm writing the script now. Part of me feels like Joe comes clean to Alex and then DeLuca, like, wants Joe to have a second chance at life with him or something. Okay. And so, like, he knows by dropping the charges that then, like, he won't go to jail. So Joe and him can, like
I feel that's like...
This is me writing fan fiction.
Okay, me writing it is, like, DeLuca just wants to move on with his life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's, like, I'm a fucking surgeon.
He doesn't want everyone to hate him.
Maybe, yeah. Or, like, yeah. Ooh, that's good. Doesn't want everyone to hate him. And is just, like, I've healed. Let's just move on.
Forgiveness, y'all.
Yeah.
Because Meredith told him... Is that how him and Meredith become friends?
Maybe.
Oh, God, I just don't know. I know.
And then DeLuca dies, everyone.
I know, I do remember
Spoiler
that.
Alert.
It is crazy that we have not rewatched these seasons.
No.
I know I haven't. Like
I have not. Yeah. No.
So that's just nuts to me.
Because did we start this around season 13?
Yeah, I believe we did.
Yeah. So we have not rewatched these.
Mm-mm. Because what are we on right now? Oh, God. Are we on season 18, though? I guess that
17.
18.
Are we really?
Yeah. So I guess maybe this would have been the one that played before. Because I think it was. Because the one...
I wouldn't have rewatched it yet.
No, not at all. I know that the one... I'm pretty sure when we started the podcast... It was the season when Mare and Riggs were dating. And then Megan comes back. Because I remember talking about that finale.
Okay.
On the podcast. So that's next season. Or is it this season?
No, it's this season.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so yeah, this was probably the one that was playing as we started the podcast.
Wow.
I wonder if we make predictions in any of our earlier episodes.
I don't want to go back and listen to a goddamn thing we said. Don't care.
Okay, what about, how do we feel about, I want to skip Eliza Minnick quick because.
No, I don't want to talk about her.
No, but I guess I was expecting to hate her more because I remembered hating her guts. But I'm just, the people that were enemies to me, I'm like hating less.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who was the other person that I just recently was like, they're not, Penny.
Oh, yeah,
I'm like Penny stan.
Penny was not bad.
Like, I liked her. I wanted her to stay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like Eliza. I do think she has a fucking point, though.
Eliza.
And Penny.
Oh.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wait, it's Peggy, not Penny.
I did that at the Halloween party, too. I said, and Penny. And John was like, it's Peggy. But the Penny thing was from that SNL sketch.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You're right. So anyway, she comes. Well, I guess, okay, we can talk really fast. Just you heard the rounds. We don't have to repeat ourselves.
Rounds.
But Bailey and Catherine are working behind Richard's back.
Rude. She is married to Richard.
It feels like it's crossing a line. It also feels like, why couldn't they just approach him with this? Because he could change.
Because he's a fucking hothead.
You don't think he could change his mind, his approach? I guess no. He's set in his ways.
I think. Well, okay. So I think he was like willing to work with Minnick,
but the
minute he does not. It's his program.
Right. And Minnick also clearly stated, like, just so you know, if I'm doing this, I'm doing it
alone. Like, yeah. I'm not working with someone else.
Yeah.
And so I don't think Richard would be willing to, because he...
Take a step back.
Yeah, because he's worked so hard at building up this program. It's his fucking legacy. Hamilton.
I was getting...
It's a legacy.
It is sowing a seed in a garden you may never see. I'm missing some lines. I think what I am getting confused with too is in Current Grey season 18, Richard is trying out the new Weber system, you know, like, which is it this? He's letting them do like,
yeah, he's letting them jump in.
So he's Minnick.
He's Minnick. Wow. That's crazy, right?
He should be giving her credit.
He won't.
He should be like, once upon a time, a woman
Minnick
came.
Eliza Minnick came in.
The one thing I don't like about Minnick, I think is, I mean, I think her idea, and it like, it's risky and whatever. I liked her point of being like, okay, see, now Murphy's done. Like, she can't do anymore. So now you know her limit. Now you know where she's left off. Like, I get that. I don't like her being like, so tell me about the attendings, like behind their back.
Oh, very gossip.
Yeah, but she likes Arizona. Do they date?
I don't remember. Like, neither. I don't... What is weird to me, though, when I knew Minnick was coming into this episode and I had her face in my mind's eye.
Was it different than what?
It was the woman who comes in to try and fix the hospital after the airplane thing.
Oh, I can't even picture her.
That was who the actress I had in my head. So when this lady showed
shocking
up,
to you?
I was like, that's not Minnick, but... They look similar. They both have long brown hair.
Yeah.
Dark hair. And they both come in and fuck with the hospital.
Yes.
So,
I think I know who you're talking. Oh, I do exactly who you're talking about now.
Yeah. And like, yeah. So
they're always wearing suits.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, I don't know. I do think that like the attendings.
Meredith is a little out of control.
Meredith is out of control. Maggie is super stressed out because, like, she's, like, last on the list or whatever.
Also, who's she's, like, a child genius.
I love when Amelia's like, who's Emilio Shepherd?
Yeah. I love that.
Amelia!
I also love that Jackson's first on the list.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
But I do love, like, that, like, there are those separate things, again, those separate categories where we have our attendings who are all, like, gossiping and chatting and super stressed out. And then we have like the residents. So it's split. But I don't know. I don't know why I don't like her. I think it's just because I feel closer to the attendings than residents.
And because I guess I don't know much about her, but she's not a surgeon.
No.
So, and she's like making all these big calls and that just feels a little like,
oh, I know what I thought that I thought was extremely reckless was when she nicked the thing on purpose.
Wait, she did that?
Yes. That conversation.
I thought DeLuca accidentally did it.
No. So she pointed out, you can see in the episode, she like puts her scalpel or something and points and she purposely nicks it. So, and then DeLuca stops it and she's like, now we know that DeLuca can do that.
Oh, I did not interpret it that way. Holy fuck.
And then he was like, yeah, because Richard's like, you did that on purpose. And she was like, how many times do people nick something? Like, it's like there were 5 surgeons in the room.
Oh.
It was not a big deal. Like, but now we know where he's at. And I'm like, I would not want a fucking surgeon purposely nicking something to teach. I'm sorry, I wouldn't.
No, I agree with you on that.
Like, is that ethical?
I guess I thought she made DeLuca do it. She knew DeLuca was going to nick it.
Oh, I did not see it in that.
If you have thoughts on that, I actually like listeners, let us know who you think. Now I kind of want to rewatch that scene. I think you could be right.
Because I feel like she's like pointing something out.
We should consult the Grey's Wiki before our post-op.
Should we put a pause in this and look
this
up?
No, we'll just keep going.
Oh.
We'll pause it. Fill up your wine glasses, everyone. We'll be back. Guess what?
Guess what?
Bree was right.
She nicks an artery and Andrew takes the clip.
Damn, that's fucked up. Yeah, no, I'm against that.
That's like, when I was watching that, I was like, and her whole idea behind it is like, have you ever had swimming lessons? Like my dad threw me into the
pool.
Okay,
yeah.
And so she's saying like, I threw him in. I gave him an opportunity to show us that he can do it. And she, her defense behind this is like, the patient was never in danger because there were five surgeons there. But you fucking nicked something on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like that's ethical.
No, I agree. That's really, really crazy. Now, in retrospect, thinking about it, I don't like her anymore.
Yeah, I really don't like her. Also, quickly reading over this Grey's Wiki thing, I remembered too when Maggie comes and introduces herself to her.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like,
oh, yeah. That.
She's like super like condescending.
Well, yeah, she says like, yeah, I heard you're a genius or whatever, but that's great for your patients, but not for those you're teaching.
Yeah, Maggie's like, huh, right. And it's like super awkward. She's like, great to meet you.
Yeah. She's shifty.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, like, I get it. The point is, like, we're not letting our residents jump in enough. Like, we don't know where they're at. And attendings can be assholes or whatever. Like, I get it, but I don't know. I don't agree.
It's also, like, interesting to me just, again, thinking about the current season that it's, like, yet again, oh, it's because of COVID this time. Like, the residents are behind. And not where they need to be. Like,
yes.
So is Gray Sloan Memorial a good teaching hospital or not?
I think it was back when the first round.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like this can kind of bleed a little bit into Leah Murphy, mm-hmm. who we learn, basically returned to the program because she's been wanting to work with Maggie Pierce and she saw that she was at Gray Sloan and she was like, well, shit, I guess I got to go back there. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was interesting that like her issue with Maggie is that Maggie goes too fast. And then, she just made her, Eliza Minnick made her like dumb down what she was doing and say it. But I don't know. I'm not hating having her back because again, in rewatching those seasons when she came back, remember how we like came to the realization like, oh, I guess we don't hate this round of interns as much as we thought we did. Like to me, it's more just like, oh, look, another like more original character is back.
But she doesn't.
No, she doesn't stay.
Stay long. Just quickly. I'm sorry. I just saw a note of mine going back to Minnick. She ends up saying like in that conversation with Richard, she says every person is a teaching lab. And I just like, I feel like that is not like valuing a person. Like, I think I get what she's saying, but,
yeah. Remember her whole method too, is see one, do one, teach one.
Yeah.
Essentially like they should see one and then they do it. And then that, you know, like, which is just a lot. I loved all the parts in the beginning too, where like, Stephanie blames Ben. They're like, she's here because of you. You did a C-section in the hallway. And then earlier when Alex is like, they're going to overhaul the program because I beat up DeLuca. Like,
yes.
There's just like all of this like sort of comedy
about like,
why she's there.
Is this person here? Yeah.
Also,
the worst feeling when Leah is in the cafeteria and they're all talking about her.
I know, but I love that she owns it.
Yeah. And she's like, you're all talking about me. Oof, not fun.
The only good thing Minnick did was make Owen be the one to check the guts on the floor, and Stephanie did the surgery.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do love, or what was the thing about? I guess so far I like this version of Murphy because she is like, yeah, I was here before. You've heard things. Let's move on. Like, I'm glad we're not having to dwell on those things again.
Yeah.
Like, even with Arizona, she's like, I'm not thinking about that anymore.
Yeah.
I bet she leaves when Steph leaves. I bet she's
really?
Here for, you think she's here for the rest of the season or no?
No, I think she leaves soon after. I don't know. I remember her for like 3 episodes.
That's true. That's
but
true.
I also don't remember this season. So whatever. Okay. Should we talk about Amelia and Owen?
Yeah. They're not doing well.
No. This is very interesting. I didn't realize that Amelia didn't even tell Meredith or Derek about her pregnancy.
I know. And her when she child. Said that to Alex, I thought that as well.
Yeah. That's wild. Like, that's a huge part of your life.
Something I really like about that, I think why I end up liking Amelia so much is I actually really like the actress that plays her. Like,
sure.
And I think she does a really good job in those breakdown moments. Like, she's a very good dramatic actress. And so in that scene when she does, like, when that the son dies, basically, which is devastating.
Oh, God. And the mom is like, I wish it was you. Yeah. I wish it was you. It should have been you.
That part was really awful, but she has that breakdown. And I think her way, like, was like her way of talking to Alex was just, she's a really great actress. But I also like that Alex is like, you can talk to me. And he's like, or not. Okay, I can leave. Like, he's just like, no response. I feel like Alex is a good person to talk to.
Also, pulling back from last week, I had mentioned, like, I feel like Amelia was really relieved when she got a negative on her pregnancy test. And she says exactly that.
Yep, we get confirmation.
Yeah, that she was relieved. And so I do wonder if we don't really know this story, because she really tells
Anencephaly.
Yeah. That's what because it's wrong. So we might have maybe had some idea, like, because we couldn't remember about the April thing if she mentioned having a child before, but like, I don't think
this feels like the first time.
Yeah, the story.
It was so sad when she said the he was born with anencephaly. He donated all of his organs.
Yeah.
And then she said, when she said the part about like he lived for 43 minutes. And then when she said, sorry, I'm having heart palpitations. When she said, the longer I sat there, when she's talking about the pregnancy test, she goes, the longer I sat there, the more I felt like I was dying. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. And when that stick was negative, Owen's heart broke. I was so relieved I could breathe again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're on different pages.
Well, yeah. And she ends up telling him earlier in the episode, like, she doesn't want to rush into having kids. She wants to be newlyweds. And I said, Owen, of course, seems disappointed because all Owen wants is one million children.
Well, it's also shitty because the thing when she finally breaks down to him or to Owen is that that must be in the next episode. Yeah, so she walks in, you know, and she says to Alex, like, I haven't told him yet, like, whatever. But it's sad, too, because, like, she doesn't actually tell Owen that. She just says to him that she doesn't want to have...
I don't want to have kids.
Right, which I think, like, I could guess maybe understand why he's a little... I don't know why he kicked her out of his house, but, like, I can understand why he's upset because literally a week ago, she made it seem like she was excited they were possibly pregnant, and now she has this... But I also understand why it's hard to just share that.
Wait, did I miss the part where he kicked her out?
Well, I don't know if he kicks her out, but she shows up and and she says the sword, I love how Alex says to her, you can fix your stupid sword, go home and get the execution over with. And then she's like, I did, the sword fell.
Like, and he's like, you can take my room.
Yeah.
Which is really sweet.
And then he goes, she talks to me now. No explanation. Because Meredith still doesn't know.
Well, and I also love, too, though, like, I love that Meredith's not like, well, what happened? I feel like if that were me, I'd be like,
what the fuck was that
what's
about?
Going on?
Yeah.
She's just like, good. I don't have to deal with this then.
I know. I just also like how Alex, like, when I say I want a friend like that, I don't mean that you're not a friend like that. But, like, Alex literally, like, you could be like, I just murdered someone. I need a place to stay. And he's like, okay, I'm not going to ask. Like, he doesn't want to incriminate himself. He doesn't want to know too much.
Yeah.
But he'll be there.
Yeah. It's also really interesting, his response to her whole thing about her pregnancy and her child being born and giving up his organs and not surviving is... And I feel like this is common in television. And I'm like, is this how you respond to someone telling you trauma? Is I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
People often say that in shows, like, or I had no idea.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's, like, the most, like, comforting thing someone can say.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if it's, like, the idea of just sitting in that with someone and not trying to fix it.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing he can say.
No.
So I feel like...
But I feel like in most, like, real life situations, someone would be like, I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah.
But it's always in these TV shows, it's like, I didn't know. And that's it.
He's us, the viewer.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Thank you for telling me.
That's a really good point. I never thought about that.
Like, if someone said that to me, after I said that, I would probably be like, well, yeah, now you do.
Not what?
What? Tell give me something else. I don't think we actually put around.
Oh, wait, can I add one last thing?
Oh, yeah, please.
I just want to say, I think that makes sense to me then why also after he hears that from Amelia, that's when he goes and lays in Meredith's bed. And he also says, and Amelia, she should come too. You need to be nicer to her. You need your sisters. I think it's also for Amelia's sake.
Oh, totally.
Like he knows that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't have anything else about them.
No, I don't either.
We didn't do a round about April and Jackson and April dating.
Oh, shoot.
So let's just quickly touch on that.
They're like being really good co-parents.
Mm-hmm.
But besties. And also it's sad. It's like the loss of...
I know. April's on Tinder and she doesn't know how to turn off the notifications. So she asks Steph about it, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then she's like, you should ask him on a date. He's very cute. That's what I would do. And so April goes on a date and she is honest with Jackson about it.
Yeah.
And she comes out but is like, oh, you're like really going on a date. And then she leaves, right? She says she got paged.
Yeah. Well, first she tells him it was amazing and there's another one.
Oh, right.
And then eventually we learn that it was awful and she lied and told him there was a page.
Right.
And I love how he's like giggling with her and just, and then he makes her go again.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, and then he makes nachos because he does. He makes a huge plate of nachos.
Yeah, he doesn't want to share them. So he tells her to go. Yeah. but I feel like you can see a little bit of loss in his, like he's happy for her, but it's like, I don't know. It's like they aren't meant to be together in this moment, but it is sad that they're not.
Yeah. And like, she also, he's like, you're on the apps. And she's like,
so are you.
You are too. Like,
I saw you.
And he's like, well, but not exactly. And it would be really hard. I don't remember how they move out of each other's homes.
I know. Let's talk about dating apps and post-op.
Oh, God. I have so many stories. Jesus. No.
Yeah, I don't know how they move out either, but it is cute that he's like, you go, and he's like, I will, tell me, like, text me if you need an escape. Like, I will come get you.
Yeah. And he lets her go. Yeah. Not lets her, but, like,
but,
encourages her to go.
Yeah.
I have a quote here that says, we're going to be married for a very long time. And I said, LOL, LOL, no, they're not. I think that's Amelia and Owen.
Oh, yeah, like we have lots of time.
Yeah.
I also have a note here. So Bailey is feeling really upset about what she's doing to Richard, you know? And I think it's funny how Ben and her have that separation of church and state.
Yeah.
And even the other attendings make fun of him, or residents. They're like, okay, we get it. You and your perfect marriage. But then there's that moment when Bailey is at home and he goes up to her and he just says, what do you need? And I just feel like, and she says something like, I need to know that what I'm doing is right. Mm-hmm. And whether or not he believes in it, like he said, he gives her that, which I do feel like while they're problematic sometimes, I do think like that is a really great image of marriage.
Yeah.
Like, him seeing that she needs something, her being able to say what she needs, and then him filling that gap. I thought it was just lovely. I don't know. That's all my note.
No, that's...
They're always, like, shirtless and hugging.
Yeah, and, like, she's always in a nice nightgown, negligee.
Don't you sleep in nightgowns?
Always. I have a really bad nightgown.
Like, ugly? Or
oh, it's so ugly. My sister the other day, she does laundry here, and she's like, oh, Brie, I saw that nightgown in the laundry. I was not... It's like... I had actually bought it for my mom for Christmas.
Oh, I remember this. It said birds on it or something.
Yeah, sure does. Yeah. But I decided to get her a different one. And I was like, oh, I'll just keep this for myself. And it goes to my ankles. It's long sleeved. And it has like cardinals on it.
Yeah.
And it's like... has
Is it like weird, a house dress?
It has like those weird like frilly things like on the lapel thing.
Do you love it though?
Oh, it's my winter nightgown because it's so cozy and warm. But I look about 75 in it. It's so ugly. Poor John. I'm sure he's like, when I wear it to bed, it's like, what in God's name are you wearing? Oftentimes, I wear it, and then I put my heel glaze on, and so I put wool socks on with it. So I have, like, socks on in bed and, like, heel stuff on my feet. I should just put like a turby twist in my hair and
that.
A green face mask and be like, don't touch me.
No, I think that would make you too young. Like,
don't touch me.
What
about rollers? Rollers in my hair.
What is like an everyday, this is for the fans, what do you sleep in? Is it that every night?
I don't sleep in that every night.
Like, what's a typical?
Usually like pants and a sweatshirt in the winter because I'm cold.
Oh my God, I cannot.
Because I'm really cold. But
do not, we have double comforters on our
bed. No, we just have the one.
We have two down comforters.
Yeah, no. Or I have my matching set. So I have like a long sleeve and a long sleeve and long pant leopard.
How do you deal though? Like, okay, you get into bed, you push your legs down, the pants ride up.
Oh my gosh. Every time I wear pants to bed and I get out of bed, and I get out of bed in the morning, only my right leg is up to my knee. So I don't know what I do in bed. It's never my left knee, but my right pant leg is up to my knee.
Interesting. See, I sleep in every single night, shop ARC underwear and I don't know why I say shop, ARC underwear and an ARC tank.
What?
That's all. I cannot sleep in like, I used to just sleep in like underwear and like a small t-shirt, like not tight, but like just like I need my legs to just feel the sheets. Like there cannot be any separation.
Oh, I mean like sometimes I don't sleep with pants on. It depends. Oftentimes, so you sleep with underwear on a lot of the time.
Well, just ARC underwear to me is like,
but oftentimes I just like, I will wear like
nightgown
pants
or
a nightgown with no underwear to air my vagina.
Same. I either wear shorts and no.
Yeah.
Or to me, like I don't wear my ARC underwear always because they're just like, I don't know. I like thongs, but like the ARC underwear to me, I buy a size bigger than what I probably need to wear. So they're like loose.
Okay. Yeah. I wear long sleeve.
Yeah. Don't make fun of me.
No, I'm not making fun of you at all. I also have short sleeve ones.
So every time I go to bed, Jake's like, oh, you're in your onesie. Cause it looks like I'm a baby. Cause I wear the matching. I always wear the matching ones. So I look like a baby.
You probably look really cute. I look horrific.
Not when I like get up, and also whenever I wake up, one boob is out.
Oh,
you
always.
Know, like
yeah.
I'm always like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Also, last night Jake was on my. We have one satin pillowcase. It's like because our pillows are king size, but we have like a standard one that I put a satin one on for sometimes when I sleep. And he was like, I really like this one. So I think I'm going to get Jake a satin pillowcase for Christmas.
Oh, he'll love that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Must be black, though, because his face is dirty.
Yeah.
Not white. Ugh.
Yeah, we'll get. But I feel like black, too, would get
dirty. I want to invent a sheet set where one half is black and the other half is white. And the boy sleeps on the dark side because men who don't wash their face, I should say. That's not all of them. But like, yeah. Can you imagine?
Tell you I got Christmas sheets?
No, oh, of course you did. Are they flannel?
No, they're Cuddle Duds. Do you know that brand?
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah.
And they have little Christmas trees on them.
That's cute.
I'm excited to put them on.
December.
I'm bringing Christmas to the upstairs.
I love it. Oh God, it's taking over.
It's taking over.
Okay. Wow.
We're taking over this episode. Are we done? Should we go into notes and trivia? I don't feel like I have anything else.
Yeah. Just a reminder, if you want to know what happens in the next episode, which is called The Room Where It Happens, it will be released in a bonus episode for the month of November.
That's correct.
So yeah, if you're wondering why we skipped it, we did.
We'll probably release it. So like, next after this one.
Yeah, or the same day even, or around then, just to make people have lots of things to listen to.
Yeah.
Okay, notes and trivia. First one, this episode's title originated from the song...
I was expecting you to sing that one.
Originally sung by Katy Perry, who I saw in concert once. It was really fun.
Really?
Yeah, when she...
When?
Before Orlando Bloom and her were together.
Oh, wow, a while ago. Okay, it scored 8.17 million viewers.
The table read took place on September 22nd, 2016.
It marks the reintroduction of Leah Murphy, who was last seen in the season 10 finale.
This title of the next one originated from the song Why Try to Change Me Now, originally sung by Frank Sinatra.
It scored 7.6 million viewers.
It is the first episode since her birth not to feature Harriet Kepner Avery.
And this is Camila...
Start again.
This is Camila?
Camila?
Is it Camila? Camila!
I think so. She's British, not like Spanish. So I don't think it'd be like Camille. You know what I mean? I think it'd be just Camila.
It's Camila?
I think so. Camila, please report.
I know someone whose name is Camila, and her grandmother called her Camilla.
Okay, so it could be Camila. Yeah. I have no idea.
Whatever. It's her 100th appearance as Jo Wilson.
Lovely. Catherine Fox Award. This is hard. Okay, I have, I kind of want to give it to Rich, well, Alex too. Here's my argument for Richard. Okay. Is that he, this woman swoops in and starts changing shit. And by the end, he's like, you know what? I do need to change. Like, medicine is changing. I want to stay on top of it. I will work with her. And then he gets fucked in the end.
Okay.
That's my one contribution.
So just Richard. I thought you said someone else.
I wanted to give you the chance to choose someone.
Oh, I see. Okay. I would say like a little shout out, but doesn't really get it, is Jackson for just being there for April. Just a little shout out. But maybe Alex for like being there for Amelia and doing Waffle Sundays.
Mm, that's good too. I'm just going to write them all three. It's not like anyone really
cares or does anything with it.
I'm going to rate these, I'm going to rate it a 7. I guess I was invested in the first patient storyline, you know, like it was like a good patient thing.
Sure. I gave it a 6. I was bored.
Okay.
All right. So if you are a $10 patron, stick around after we call Time of Death. We're going to talk about something. We don't know what.
See you soon. And Time of Death is 2014.
Peace.